And this shrine has also Najme Khatun Shabestan, which is a prayer hall. This Shabestan is located at the bottom of the Imam Khomeini Shabestan. With an area of 8,000 square meters, it is built with a special architectural features and is used for holding religious ceremonies. Also, during pilgrimage seasons, when the holy shrine is overcrowded, it is allocated for women. There is a level difference of about 50 centimeters high in the middle part of this Shabestan as a new design that has produced a very special effect. Also, there is Imam Khomeini Shabestan. This Shabestan or prayer hall has an area of 8,000 square meters with entrances on all four sides. There are short pillars around the Shabestan where a half floor is built on them. There are also four high pillars in the middle of this area and a low square-shaped dome is mounted over them. On the Qibla side of the Shabestan, there is a magnificent altar that is mihrab, which displays the fine taste of Iranian architecture. Also, there is the courtyard of Imam Hadi, peace upon him, and the courtyard of Imam Reza, peace upon him. In the beautiful courtyard of Imam Reza, peace upon him, there are north, south, east, and west porches. These luxurious porches, particularly the mirror porch and the pool and the waterfront in the center of the holy courtyard with the special features, renovated in their traditional form in 2011, have multiplied the beauty of this holy site. Welcome back. And I was talking about your emails, Harald Seuss from Austria, as I said earlier in the program, has sent us a piece of email. Harald Seuss is one of our loyal listeners who says, "Dear staff, I could receive an IRIB program during my trip. I have made a reception report. Please see the attachment." If my report is correct, I would ask you if you can verify it by a QSL card. I send you and all the colleagues in your English department my best wishes, best regards. Salam and warm greetings from Tehran, Iran, to you, Harald Seuss from Austria. Thank you very much for writing to us. So please accept our EQSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So, dear listeners, today the shrine of our Innocent Lady of Qom, Lady Fatima Masuma, peace upon her, is the cynosure of the eyes of the faithful from all over the world. While the city of Qom has become the center of diffusion of the genuine teachings of Prophet, as bequeathed by the immaculate progeny of the Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt, peace upon them. And as tomorrow, April 1st, corresponds with the 21st of the holy month of Ramadan, I, on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, express my condolences to you on the martyrdom anniversary of the Commander of the Faithful and the first infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, Imam Ali, peace upon him. Dear listeners, here we've come to the end of our today's program. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Allah, 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 Allah. چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illa Allah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
The heaven of the earth, meaning that this galaxy that you see are all of the lower heaven. They are the heaven of the earth, lower down the heavens, and these galaxies to the extent that is visible, meaning that it has been decorated, contain millions of suns and more, and beyond these there are billions of galaxies and billions of other things that Allah alone knows. It is this material world that humankind has so far discovered, not at its peak, but at its lowest level.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. About the night of Qadr or night of power, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, "If you understand the secret of the night of Qadr, all our problems would be facilitated." This statement of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi is about the greatness of the night of Qadr and the significance of understanding its value. According to the great Imam, the holy month of Ramadan might have been prescribed because it is a month in which the Holy Prophet ﷺ has perceived the truth. After this perception, the angels and the Holy Book of Quran have been sent down. By His power, the angels are sent down, and by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Holy Book of Quran and angels are revealed.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi,
sallallahu alayhi.
The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the truth of the Holy Book of Quran in the holy month and on the night of Qadr. After the perception, he caused Quran to be sent down through the angels who are all subordinate to him, so as to communicate to people to some extent. The Holy Quran is beyond our approach and it is beyond the capacity of human being. It is a secret between the truth and the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in whole to be communicated to people in the form of words so as to be able to use it. If we understand the secret of the night of Qadr and ascension of angels on the night of Qadr that extends to the messenger of God, and truly all our problems would be easied and facilitated. This is a good explanation of the elegant statement of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh. By trying to get closer to the truth of the night of Qadr, we will reach high levels of spirituality, and that is a manifestation of our right path to heaven, inshallah. Okay, dear listeners, we have no more time. And for ending this episode, I want to recite the sentence of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh about the night of power of Laylatul Qadr once more. In that regard, he said, "If we understand the secrets of the night of Qadr, all our problems would be facilitated." Thank you very much for listening to us. Until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Every night and every day, every night and every day. every day never forget to say La ilaha illa Allah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll discuss some of the contents of chapter Naml, the 27th chapter of the Holy Quran, as well as some of the commentary points of the verses. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to the 10th and 11th verses of chapter Naml.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Wa alqi 'asak. فَلَمَّا رَآهَا تَهْتَزُّ كَأَنَّهَا جَانٌّ وَلَّا مُدْبِرًا وَلَمْ يُعَقِّبْ يَا مُوسَى لَا تَخَفْ إِنِّي لَا يَخَافُ لَدَيَّ الْمُرْسَلُونَ
And he was told, throw down your staff. But when he saw it writhing as if it were a snake, He turned in flight and did not return. Allah said, O Moses, fear not. Indeed, in my presence, the messengers do not fear.
إِلَّا مَنْ ظَلَمَ ثُمَّ بَدَّلَ حُسْنًا بَعْدَ سُوءٍ فَإِنِّي غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ
Otherwise, he who wrongs, then substitutes good after evil. Indeed, I am forgiving and merciful.
Dear listeners, in view of the fact that the mission of prophethood, especially before a cruel and unjust one like Pharaoh, needed the outward and inward power, and might as well as a firm proof of legitimacy, here Moses is commanded to throw down his rod to show it. So, in the previous episodes, we mentioned and we said that based on the previous verses, Moses heard a voice, Ya Musa, innahu anal azizul hakim. It is me, it is Allah that is talking to you. But what was said to Moses afterwards? وَأَلْقِ عَصَاكَ, cast down your staff. He immediately did this. So the verse says that cast down your staff. Moses عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا وَآلِهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ threw down his rod, and suddenly it changed into a serpent. The verse continues saying, فَلَمَّا رَآهَا تَهْتَزُّ كَأَنَّهَا جَانٌ وَلَّا مُدْبِرًا وَلَمْ يُعَقِّبْ. When he saw it moving as if it were a serpent, he turned back retreating and did not return. And it is also probable that at the beginning, the staff changed into a small snake, and in later stages it became a great one. Here, Moses was again addressed, and he was told not to be afraid. Ya Musa, la takhaf, inni la yakhafu ladayya al-mursalun. O Moses, fear not, for surely the messengers shall not fear in my presence. Moses should be aware that here is the position of nearness, and Allah's secure sanctuary, the Mighty, the High. It is this position Moses is in. This rank is a place where there is not any fear or terror. That is, Moses, you are at the presence of Allah, the Most High, and His presence is with absolute security.
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء لي الدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
حفظ الكتاب بصدره فبدا وضيئا كالنجوم تألقا وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
So this similar meaning that is recited in this verse is also recited in other verses of the Holy Quran. What was said to Moses? O Moses, come you forward and fear you not, for surely you are in security. Through the next verse, however, Quran states an exception for the holy phrase, surely the messengers shall not fear in my presence, إِنَّهُ لَا يَخَافُ لَدَيَّ الْمُرْسَلُونَ, and it says, save he who has been unjust. Then he does good instead after evil, for verily I am the forgiving, the merciful. So Allah says that He will accept the penitence of those who repent, and He will give them security too. Concerning the circumstance of this exception, the late Tabarsi, the writer of Majma'ul Bayan, says, but those people except the prophets who have done wrong and then repent remorsefully and decide not to return again should know that He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the forgiving. The reason why the prophets have been mentioned as an exception is that they never commit any wrong. And because of the rank of infallibility, they are far from any sins and evil. So there they are not inside the exception. and the prophets are like others only in principle of doing duties. And this kind of exception has also been referenced and referred to by Qurtubi in his commentary. So some other great commentators have said that there is not any matter in this verse, and the fact is that those other than the prophets are not secure. Then there is an exception where it implicitly says, save those who after their faults and sins repent and improve, and such ones will be in the divine security too. Whatever it is, we ask the Almighty Allah to give us the insight for the definitive commentaries of these verses. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Things always worked for me, worry ends when faith begins.
Welcome to Have It Out with Galloway. Every single week, I'll be here discussing the hottest topics, the biggest world events, but perhaps from a perspective that you will not find easily on the mainstream media. I'm joined tonight, and in fact, every week, with a group of distinguished panelists, as well as an interested live studio audience. Our guest tonight, Low Key, is a rapper, a hip-hop artist, an investigative journalist, and his critically acclaimed music has millions of streams on Spotify, over 25,000 digital downloads, and over 45 million YouTube views. Low Key breaks the ground for independent political music. He's also the host of The Watchdog, a podcast on Mint Press News. Dr. Marwa Osman is a journalist and a presenter. She holds a PhD and two masters and is a university lecturer at the Lebanese International University and Maarif University. She hosts and produces political shows, as well as being a writer, with her comments being published by a whole variety of outlets. And Fra Hughes is a journalist, author, and human rights activist from the north of Ireland. He has written several books, including An Activist's Tale, My Walk with Palestine, which chronicles his experiences as an international activist and his involvement with the Viva Palestina 5 medical aid convoy. His work focuses on the role of activism in promoting justice and human rights. And a plethora of interested and interesting audience guests joining us from all over the world who'll be chipping in throughout the show. But let me turn first, if I may, to Dr. Marwa. Do you think, as I do, that there will be no justice forthcoming in the so-called international legal system, that being more or less lipstick on the pig of injustice that the world order has been, but that there may be accountability and a holding to account in political change in Western countries? Where do you stand?
Well, I'll tell you, George, from experience, that how Lebanon dealt with the non-existent international community and the ineffective UNSC resolutions is that we took our land back, we kicked the Zionists out by our own heroes, by the people who are native to the land, aka the resistance. So we really, as natives of West Asia, as natives of the Levant in specific, in that region, me coming from a region that is on the border with both occupied Palestine and the Golan Heights. I remember on October 7th, actually, I was with you on one of your shows, and we spoke about what the prospects were, and I was there. I was in my house on the border between occupied Palestine and the Golan Heights, and I told you that we support the resistance, we believe in the resistance, and I still say that. Why do I say that? Because despite the fact that it's been 6 months that I've been displaced from my house, right there where I was with you 6 months ago, because of Zionist Israel, not because they wanted to wage a war, but because our people, my resistance in Lebanon, stood steadfast and said, we will not let go of our brothers and sisters in Gaza. We will not leave them be alone. We will engage. And we in Lebanon attacked posts, military posts for the Zionist entity in support of Palestine. So hence why we didn't even wait. It started on October 8 at 6:45 a.m. I was there. I watched it firsthand. I started reporting from there. This is great example, George, of how we operate here. We don't wait for justice that that is going to come from the international community or from the UNSC or from the global powers, because we know that it does not exist. Mm-hmm. We know that they operate in a way that only garners interest for their own colonial power, for their own imperial power, for their own entities, the likes of the cancerous Zionist entity in our region. And if you look at the UNSC draft resolution that was passed today, you could clearly see that it is in the favor of Zionist Israel, by the way. Yes, we want Gaza to breathe. We need some sort of a ceasefire for the people to breathe, especially in Ramadan. But on the same page, you could see that it is actually in the interest of the Zionist entity, which has been losing a very strategic loss in history that they have not been lived before. They have never experienced before this kind of level of defeat.
Well, they're beginning to lose friends also, Dr. Marwa. And as we go to air, one of those might be the Prime Minister of Canada, one of the Zionist state's most powerful friends. Let's go to one of my most powerful friends, one of my oldest friends, Dr. Mala, who joins us from Canada in Ontario. Doctor, wonderful to see you again. Any update you can give us? The air is full of rumors that Israel's friend Justin Trudeau might be in his last days.
Yes, Habibi George, I'm talking of oldest friend, just talk of yourself. You know, it's the spirit by, youthful spirit, whether for you or for many others. And let me take the opportunity to say salam and a greeting to dear sister Dr. Marwa and Sakina and dear friend and comrade Fra. You know, in this segment so far, there are so many themes could be discussed at length and which we haven't come across and discussed yet. But let me start from Canada. As you know, Canada might be out, but, you know, the question who will be in is more important, because if it is the conservative, then you'll be talking about a Zionist government in Canada. And that, you know, takes me to the point, George. Can you tell me where on this globe the UK was not and has not been complicit? Can we name any continent where the UK or the, you know, Great Britain has not been complicit in genocide and crimes? If there is a justice on this world, so most leaders throughout the centuries of the UK and Western entities should be rotten in jail. You work very hard against the genocide of Iraqi people, and you were accused. And what this led to, the lies of Tony Blair and George Bush, led to more than 1 million Iraqi dead. You know, you want to take any other part of the world and you will see literally the rulers of the British, you know, throughout many centuries, their hands is soaking with the blood of people from all over. from the Philippines to Australia to Canada. Look at the map, Australia and Canada. They are at the totally different ends of the world. And what the UK did with, you know, the First Nation and Aboriginal people, they committed massacres against them, George. And you know it. And you talk about it. So the question is, what can we, you and me and all of us, do to attempt to bring some justice to the victims of the UK and Western imperialism and colonialism and the crimes? You know, maybe well, by elections.
The reason the sun never set on the British Empire is because God would never trust us in the dark, as you well know. In Ireland, of course, for 800 years before we started occupying other people, we occupied Ireland and held it as a colony and visited famine upon it. Ireland didn't starve. Ireland was starved, just like Gaza was starved, is being starved. Let's go back to Fra Hughes in Ireland for a perspective on that. Fra, welcome.
Thanks, George. As I said earlier on, just about what happened with the famine, that's why the Irish people have such an affinity and such empathy for what's happening in Palestine. We suffered from military occupation. We suffered from massacres. We suffered from ethnic cleansing and partial colonization of the north of Ireland in the 17th century. So I only see the difference between what's happening in Palestine and Gaza today, which is on such an inhuman, monstrous scale. It's just a time scale. What happened in Ireland in the 19th century with the famine is exactly being replicated today in Gaza. Starvation being used as a weapon of war, starvation being used as a form of subjugation. And it appears that starvation is being used as part of the Zionist regime's negotiations behind the scenes with Hamas. I just touched earlier briefly that, you know, Hamas was trying to get an extended ceasefire in these talks that were being held in Cairo and Paris and other capital cities. And what they wanted to do was release the prisoners that they hold in small tranches, kind of adhered to the good faith of the Israelis on the ground. But it appears with this UN resolution that a rabbit has been pulled out of the hat and the carpet has been pulled from under Hamas. It's just my personal opinion, but we have gone from what seemed to be a hope for a ceasefire between 6 weeks and 6 months, which could then possibly be extended because once the guns go silent, it's harder to turn them back on again. And what we're looking at is possibly a two-week ceasefire. We're looking at food for hostages, which has been the stated goal of the Zionist regime and the Americans right up until the UN vote that was vetoed 3 days ago. I think Israel can say what it wants in the public domain. I think they are delighted that this draft resolution has been passed. They will have all their hostages potentially released in one go. And I believe once that happens, Netanyahu had two stated aims. One, to free the hostages, as he calls them, and the second, to destroy Hamas. What, in effect, he may count is a release of the hostages, which kind of negates the pressure and leverage that he's under from his own constituents in Israel, who aren't heard about the deaths and the massacres and the rapes in Gaza, but are only concerned about the 150-plus prisoners.
Well, everything will be determined by the definition of the word hostages. If I were negotiating it, I would be treating the Palestinian prisoners, 7,800 of them, I'd be treating them as hostages. And when the resolution says the release of all hostages, I'd be saying that's all the Israeli captives and all the Palestinian captives. We'll see how that works out in coming days. Thanks for that, Fra. Let's go back to the wall. Nargis is in London. She has a question. splendid hat, Nargis. You need to you need to wear a hat to come on this show.
First of all, George, congratulations.
Thank you.
You won. You're a fighter for truth.
Thank you.
And secondly, I wanted to salute and give a great salute of honor to Gaza and to Palestine and to all the forces of good who are now fighting and facing the forces of evil. We should correct now. The masks are all have all fallen, and we should correct Bush Junior when he said that he was going against the axis of evil, but he was leading the axis of evil actually, and we should also tell him that it's not God who spoke to him at the time, it was Satan.
Indeed.
And fortunately for the Israelis now, there's how I see it is the end. Pack and go. It's now time to give what belongs to the Palestinians back, their land, their identity, their history, their roots. They will never go anywhere. All the maths say that with the axis of resistance to that I salute too, from Yemen to Lebanon to Syria to Iraq to Iran to the silent ones, because we don't know who are the silent ones also here. And Israel is becoming a liability. The Israel was the one of the largest and most powerful tentacles of the Zionist octopus. I always like to remind you about the Zionist octopus. And this tentacle is becoming a liability now. And thanks to South Africa, I applaud them so much, because it's thanks to them this time, you know. The scandal went so wide all over the world that now not everyone wants to be found in, I don't know, a Nuremberg-style tribunal or court that will happen soon. And you have politicians starting to pull their pins from the game one by one.
Well, the Nuremberg would have to sit in permanent session. Nargis, thanks for that. Loki, where do you stand on this recent Security Council resolution? Does it provide, in your view, any basis for at least a lengthy cessation of the genocide?
So my understanding of it at this stage is that it only would provide for the next 2 to 3 weeks. What I also understand is the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations tried to immediately say it was a non-binding ceasefire because it wasn't covered by Chapter 7 in the United Nations protocols. That then was challenged by experts on the issue and said it was binding. I do also agree that it stipulates the release of the Israeli captives who are in Gaza, who it has to be noted that these captives have been being killed by the Israeli military in its raids on Gaza. In addition to that, I think it's also worth pointing out that the Russian representative to the United Nations attempted to insert the word permanent into the motion and was not able to do that. And that is obviously a cause for concern.
It's definitely not a good sign. Days to come will tell us how bad a sign it is, I'm sure. Dr. Frank Gehly, another old friend of mine, one of life's miracles, an Italian Protestant. Go ahead, Dr. Frank.
Well, George, it seems to me that we have a lesson to learn
of a learn is, of a lesson is, that at the end of the day, Israel listens only to force, only force. Declarations, resolutions, statements, moral assertions cut no ice with the rulers of state of Israel. Netanyahu doesn't give a damn. So we have to find ways in which can bring force to bear upon the perpetrators of the Gaza genocide. Certainly disinvestment, BDS, the campaign of disinvestment, is a strong, powerful tool, but it really hurts. It really hurts the state of Israel and its supporters. And I belong to a group, the Lambeth Witness Group, and we are actually agitating in that way. But I want to be bold enough to say that it would be good if there was an international body like there was, let's say, in Spain during the Civil War, or indeed when Cuba sent fighters to South Africa, to Angola, to fight the South Africans, a body of volunteers who would volunteer to, in some ways, to fight the Israeli butcher of children, the children killers in Gaza, and also eventually possibly even states like Brazil under Lula, even possibly South Africa, and maybe, inshallah, some Arab state would actually take the initiative and do something forceful about this monstrous aggression, which has completely disgusted every decent person in the world, and which we must not let go unpunished. Punishment, the word punishment, belongs to ethics. Perpetrators of crimes should be punished. And we can begin to do that by disinvestment, by BDS, but there are other ways. I support the idea of a body of volunteers who would actually go and fight this oppression in Palestine.
I'm not sure how that could happen. States through which it would be necessary for volunteers to pass are members of what Loki memorably called the axis of assistance. So the boundaries of the dichotomy between the axis of resistance and the axis of assistance would have to alter for that to happen. Tariq Othman is a Palestinian in Luton, in the south of England. Tariq, welcome. What's your take on these things?
George, the take is self-explanatory, as everyone has been explaining so far. What we are seeing is, of course, important, and I do think represents a sort of fork in the road for Israel. The discussion it has now, the choice it has now, is to continue isolating itself, to force it into a position where it no longer has any friends, as it now is becoming orphaned by its usual Western parents, or it can decide to move towards a more reconciliatory path and become more peaceful and fundamentally change its Zionist core. But I think related to what many others have been talking about and what you have just mentioned, what is it that we can do? You know, maybe we aren't able to go into and fight with the axis of resistance, as you mentioned. But what is it we can do here in Luton, in London, in the UK, to replicate some of your successes that you've had in Rochdale, for example, and turn them into more powerful and effective successes that can do more of what we've seen in the United Nations today?
Well, I'll be speaking in Luton soon. I hope you come along to the meeting. I have some ideas in that regard. It's not realistic for people in Western countries to travel to Gaza. In any case, frankly, there are enough fighters in Gaza. The resistance is not defeated. What is necessary is to change the balance of power in the region and the balance of power in the world, in the Western world. The old world is dying, that much is obvious, but the new world really is struggling to be born. That's why we are in this extended period under the rule of monsters. The power, growing power, no doubt, of countries like Russia, China, Iran, South Africa, Brazil, is not yet powerful enough to say, halt, no more, no further. We will not accept any more of this. And if you don't stop it, we'll be landing our own ships on your beach that you hope to turn into beachfront properties. We're not yet at that stage, that much is clear. But the axis of resistance in the region is growing more powerful. I suppose the question, I'm going to ask Dr. Marwa this, the question is, how secure are those on the thrones of the axis of assistance? Can we look for any change in their behavior or any change in them being replaced by someone else? Dr. Marwa.
Well, change in their behavior, that's a big no-no because they are part of the colonial system that was installed in the region. They are part, they are an extension to the regimes found in the West. Now, them be ousted, that has to do with how powerful their like the natives of those countries are against those regimes. And it's a big debate that could take a lot of time to research and talk about the minorities that are being oppressed and how can they stand in the face of these regimes. But I have a suggestion concerning what your lovely priest was suggesting. And you said it's not applicable because you have access of assistance countries, but you, I don't want you to forget that there is Lebanon and there is the Mukawama in Lebanon and there's the Saraya Mukawama in Lebanon, which actually accepts anyone who would like to come and take part in the fight against Zionist Israel, because, you know, we have 120 kilometers between us, give or take 100 plus or minus 120 kilometers between Lebanon and occupied Palestine. And just as Zionist Israel brought about from all over the world mercenaries to help out in this genocide against our people in Palestine from all over the world, despite the fact that they say they are natives to Palestine, which they are not, we can also do that. How? Well, you have to go to the people who are capable of doing that, but Lebanon always welcomes whoever wants to fight against Zionist Israel.
Lebanon
and to
will
fight
always be there. I entered this Arab world through the portals of Lebanon in 1977. I've never been able to escape, Dr. Marwa. Thank you to you, to Fra Hughes, to Loki, our panelists, to all of the studio audience, and my apologies for those of you who didn't get in. Have it out with Galloway. It's been marvelous for me. I hope it was for you, and if it was, come back for Have It Out with Galloway. Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The audience of IRB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. May Allah accept your du'as and worships in the month of Ramadan. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I pray all of you are well, that you are healthy inshallah, and that you are ready for putting our best foot forward in what's considered to be the greatest night of the entire year for us, inshallah. Whether what makes this month special and what makes this night special more than anything else is that it is the night in which the Quran was revealed, right? When Allah says Shahru Ramadan, that Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi, it's the night in is the month in which the Quran was revealed. He could have said anything. It's the month in which God's mercy is there. It's a month, because that would have been the most important thing about this month. And so the most important thing about this month is that it's the month in which the Quran was revealed. And I think that that is an amazing understanding of how God looks at the Quran and how we should subsequently appreciate the Quran as a book of guidance for us and as a book that can lead us to our salvation. And subhanAllah, we talked about it over the past few nights. And we know that this is the night. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Indeed, we revealed it on the night of Qadr. And I want to talk about this revelation and relate it to our Prophet. That we have talked about in the past that there are two types of revelation, isn't there? There is what's known as an inzal and a tanzil, right? And the Suratul Qadr talks about both of these types of nuzul, of something which comes down. So, instant. There's an inzal, which basically means it's an instantaneous. So the Quran had an instantaneous revelation. And what we mean by an instantaneous revelation is that it means that it came all at once, right? All at once on the night of Qadr to the Prophet while he was at the cave of Hira. And this is what Allah says, Inna anzalnahu. This is anzalna, is an inzal from Allah, coming down all at once. Now what's beautiful is that it did not come in the form of ayats and surahs and sections, right? The core of the message of the Quran is one. And it's that message that came into the heart of the Prophet. And by knowing that message and being familiar with that message, whenever then he would be told to recite a verse, there would never be any confusion by the Prophet, because the message was fully understood by the Prophet, right? And so this inzal is very important, and it happened on the night of Qadr. The second type of revelation is tanzil. Tanzil comes from the root word nazzala, right? So inzal is anzala, they both come from the root word nazzala, to bring down. Anzala is something that comes down. Tanzil comes from nazzala. There's a repetition, right? And so, nazzala tanzil, Allah says, tanazzalul malaika. So what we understand about angels on this night is that they don't just come down once, angels are continuously coming down on this night, right? Till Fajr, right? And so the second type of revelation that the Quran had was the revelation of tanzil, which is the gradual revelation, which lasted a period of 23 years. And so if we understand that, right, how do we understand these points about tanzil and inzal when we look at the different stages that the Quran has gone through in revelation? This is really kind of important point as well. So we understand that there are two forms of revelation. Put that here. Now we talk about the stages that these forms came in. Okay, so obviously when we talk about Quran, the Quran is basically the knowledge of God, right? And so number one, we start with the knowledge of God. Yeah, the knowledge of God cannot be limited. It cannot be put in a place to say, here is the knowledge of God. Right? You can't do that, because the moment you can encapsulate the knowledge of God, you have limited the knowledge of God, right? And so the knowledge of God is the knowledge of God. It is part of the essence of God, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took what was necessary for us from His knowledge and put it in what's known as the Lawhil Mahfuz or Ummul Kitab. Yeah, this Ummul Kitab is basically the mother of the books. It is the source of the Quran that you and I know today. Yeah, and so it goes from the knowledge of God, which cannot be encapsulated, to a place that is a guarded tablet, the Lawhil Mahfuz. Allah talks about this in the Holy Quran. And so the first stage of revelation of the Holy Quran is from the knowledge of God to the Lawhul Mahfuz. Yeah? Understand this. Okay? So this Lawhul Mahfuz serves as a proof. Right? So that when we go back, Allah will say, I already knew this would happen. Because the knowledge of God is all-encompassing. Right? It's all-knowing. And this Lawhul Mahfuz, whatever is in there, is not the knowledge of God. Because that would be an incorrect statement. You understand why that would be an incorrect statement, right? It can't be the knowledge of God. But it has part of the knowledge of God, right? The knowledge of God that is beneficial to you and I. And then still, what is in the Lawhul Mahfuz is still beyond our comprehension and grasp. And so it comes from the Lawhul Mahfuz. And now this is the second stage of revelation. Yeah? So again, be with me. First stage is Lawhul Mahfuz. Second stage of revelation is that it goes from the Lawhul Mahfuz to Bayt al-Izzah, the abode of honor. Yeah? The abode of honor is now the Quran has come into a worldly space. Before it was still in a heavenly samawati space. Now it has come into a worldly plane of existence that is still beyond the scope of our understanding, but it is this is which is the all-encompassing revelation that we call the instantaneous revelation that happened on the night of Qadr. Yeah? So it went from Lawhul Mahfuz to Bayt al-Izzah. Yeah? The Bayt al-Izzah, yeah, is what is referred to as the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Where he says, Allah talks about this in the Quran in Surah Al-Shu'ara. Nazala bihi ruhul amin ala qalbika litakuna minal mundirin. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the trustworthy angel spirit brought it down upon your heart. O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allah ma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. So that you may be one of the people who warn. Yeah? So that you may guide and warn the people. And then the third stage, after Bayt al-Izzah. Now again, Bayt al-Izzah, we said is the instantaneous. So when this Lawhul Mahfuz to Bayt al-Izzah happened on the night of Qadr. Yeah? And so now it's in the heart of the Prophet as a singular message. Yeah? This point is really important. This singular message is very important. Yeah? Because this singular message ties in with the Malakuti realm of God. Okay? And we'll come to this in a second. And then the third stage of revelation is when it went from the heart of the Prophet or Bayt al-Izzah to the tongue of the Prophet. And this is when, in the course of 23 years, Jibreel would tell the Prophet, now say this verse. Now recite this verse. Because that is now that revelation that goes from instantaneous to gradual, from Bayt al-Izzah to us. And this is the gradual stages or the three stages that the Quran goes through. It's really important for us to understand. It's a book we venerate, but we also have to understand the stages in which the book came down to us as human beings.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio.